The Dental Practice Fixers podcast is brought to you by the Maddow Center for Dental Practice Success. To find out how we can help increase the success of your practice, check out maddow.com or call us at 1-800-258-0060.
You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Promise not to tell.
Hello, everybody out there in podcast land, and welcome to season 2, episode 2 of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. I'm Dr. Richard Maddow. I'm here in the studio in beautiful Reisterstown, Maryland, with my esteemed co-host and business partner and brother, Dr. David Maddow. How's it going today, Dave?
Don't forget the brother part.
How could I forget
that? I've been your brother almost all your life.
All of my life, almost all your life. Is that how it would go?
I think so. What's going on? Good to be back in the studio with you, man.
It is
really
fantastic.
Good.
Season 2 is rolling along.
I'm excited. Season 2 is turning out to be great so far.
It really is. Thanks so much for all your positive comments about not just the special episode, but Season 2, Episode 1. Wow.
That very first phone call we did on Episode 1. Crazy.
It was nuts. People seemed to enjoy it, except for one person that found it offensive for some reason. I'm not sure why, but hey.
You know what they say? If you're not offending somebody, you're not doing your job right. They say something like that, right?
Is that your motto?
Kind of.
I'm
trying to offend 50%.
Well, you've already offended me today, so
perfect.
You must be doing your job
perfectly. Perfect.
Fantastic. Well, let's get right down to a really, really fantastic listener question for season 2, episode 2. What do you say, Dave? You want to take it away?
I will take it away. And by the way, thank you very much for your question. We are going to withhold your name as per your request. So just to let you know, if you ever have a question, and let's say it's of a very personal nature, just send it in to us. If you want to do it privately, that's fine by email. And the email for our podcast is, again, it's podcast@maddow.com, I believe, right? We haven't used it for a little while.
Well, if that's not right, you can always do info@maddow.com, info@maddow.com, and Hope, who handles the info emails, will be sure it gets to the right place.
Yeah, but I think I just checked also. I'm pretty sure it's podcast singular, because I think on our website, it's podcasts.
You know, why can't we get this uniform?
I'll tell you something. We got to talk to our web guy. It's just unacceptable, I think.
I agree.
But
or
anyway,
we can do both.
The point.
Why can't we make it so if somebody sends an email to podcast or podcasts@maddow.com, it goes to the right place? How tough would that be? Is that asking too much?
I think it's a high level. Very, very high level.
I know it's higher than my level, but I think somebody could do it.
I think the point is, if you want to send us a private question, just tell us to please withhold your name, keep it confidential, because there could be some questions that are very confidential. You don't want your team knowing that it's actually you.
Or if you're a team member, you don't want your doctor knowing it's actually you. We would take those as well.
That's very true. But let's get into today. So we're going to read this, and we will withhold the name. Hey, guys, let me start by thanking you guys for the past 15 years, and in parentheses, maybe more, since I started getting the original Richards Report, most of which I still have on my office shelf in the attractive gray 3-ring binders, close parentheses, period. I appreciate the fact that you were wet finger dentists and had very practical, tried and true advice. Plus, you were funny, in parentheses, reading back through a few of your old newsletters, and didn't think you were God's gift to dentistry. You know, I like that, first of all, Rich, because I think we always try, even back in those days, we try to come across as, and we really are, just regular guys. We're not like these, you know, superstar wannabe type people. We're just kind of regular guys.
God's gift to dentistry, especially when it comes to clinical dentistry. I mean, we were both good dentists, but we certainly weren't, you know, the Dawsons and Rosenthals and Hornbrooks of the world.
Right, exactly. So, hey, appreciate that compliment. Keeping you anonymous, doctor. I'm writing to say that I'm planning on changing careers, also known as retirement, sometime early next year. I will stay on as an employee for about 6 months to ease the transition. This has not been made public yet for fear of patients scrambling to find someone else and depleting my patient base. Although I'm hoping my base is loyal enough to at least try the new owner before leaving. Anyway, how have other offices handled this transition? When do they announce to their employees, who don't know yet either, and to their patients? Do most people send out letters to patients, a record, and when do they, if they do send letters? I'm not sure how to proceed here, but with your vast network of docs, I would assume you've run into this before. Thanks so much, Dr. Beep. We can't give his name or her name. We can't even say it's a he or her. We're not allowed to do that.
I think you pretty much spilled the beans on it being a he, though. Let's face it.
How did I do that again?
Well, you said we can't give his name or her. That's okay. It doesn't narrow it down all that much.
We are not sure of the gender. Let's just say not. That.
Okay. It might be one of those names where you can't tell the gender either. Like, you know, Pat.
Or Dr. Pat.
Terry. What were some other...
Pat Terry.
Dr. Pat Terry. Marion used to be a man's name way back in the day, right? I think these days... I don't think even women are named Marion anymore, but remember when Marion was
Richard,
a man's name?
Richard Dear.
Our grandma.
Richard Dear.
Wasn't there a faculty member at University of Maryland Dental School named Marion?
Marion Barry. Marion Barry.
Marion Barry was the mayor of Washington, D.C.
Right. It was a Marion. There's Marion Ratliff. He was he was in the perio department.
I think that's who I'm thinking of.
Marion. Come here, Marion.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the question from him or her.
You know, how do we let our patients know? Do we send a letter out?
Well, first of all, there was something that he or she asked first that I think is really important, and that is, when do you tell the team? And I know I certainly went through this when I sold my practice. Dave, I'm not sure if you went through it because you sold your practice to your partner. So it was a little bit of a different situation.
Yeah, I never told my team. I was just out of there.
They didn't even notice.
They didn't know I was gone. Just darted out there one day.
This is something I really struggle with because my team and I were tight, Dave, as you know. We were great. I really loved and respected every one of them. Some of them loved and respected me, maybe not all. But in any case, I didn't want to just surprise them or you know, come in one day and say, hey, guess what? The practice is sold. Here's your new boss. But the thing is, I had to do it that way. And this is something the practice broker that I work with advised me on. And once you understand the logic, it makes sense. Because let's just say you tell your team, hey, in 2 months, the practice is going to be sold. I won't be here anymore. You're going to have a new boss. They might start scrambling, looking for new jobs. You know, no matter how much you ask people to keep things quiet, you know, they tell a spouse, then the spouse tells a friend, then a friend tells, the word gets out. And it's just not something you can risk because that's not fair to the buyer. It can decrease the value of the practice. All kinds of bad things can happen. So as tough as it was for me and as difficult, Dr. Anonymous, as I'm sure it will be for you, I would recommend, I'm not happy with this recommendation, but I think you cannot tell anybody until the ink is on the contract. Do you agree, Dave?
Yeah, there's no other way around it. You have too many problems are going to arise if people know early. So yeah, totally agree. Yeah.
Now you may remember, we had already started doing TBSE when I sold my practice. And at that time, a lot of my practice team members came out to help us work at TBSE.
Definitely remember that.
And I sold the practice right before one of the TBSEs and then had to go in and announce it to them. And one of them got so pissed that she didn't even show up at TBSE. She just kind of said, screw you.
Who was that?
I'm not going to mention any names.
She's not listening to this podcast.
You never know. You never. She was really sweet. Oh. And I felt really guilty because it just blindsided her.
Oh, wow.
And it was not a cool thing. Well, cool or no cool, it was something that had to be done.
You had no choice.
Really.
There's really no other way to do it, in my opinion.
I agree. I totally agree. So how about contacting the patients?
Yeah, I think a letter should just be sent out and said, I've sold my practice. I found somebody to buy it, and he's really good. Hopefully you try him. See you later.
I was thinking, God, I hope he's kidding.
I know. See you later. I'm out of here. Bye. It's been a great 20 years.
Right. But yeah, letter's always great. I think in the letter, you know, it's funny. I think people like patients, whatever, don't really think of a dental practice as an entity that could be sold necessarily.
Right.
I think what they like to hear is that you've, after careful thought about your retirement and the direction you want to take, you've carefully selected Dr. Big Check to come in and be entrusted with the patient's care.
So let me ask you, doctor, how did you select this person, this doctor? Did he have like the best clinical skills? Was he like number one in his dental class? Is he just an incredible personable person?
He's not called Dr. Big Check for nothing.
No, he's the one that gave me the most money. Yep. You never say that though.
No.
But all kidding aside, hopefully this doctor that you're selling your practice to is going to be a good guy or good woman. And
yeah, you've got to feel good about it.
You got to feel great about it. Good clinical skills, personable. You got hopefully, or else, you know, it's not really fair to them either, because the practice, let's face it, if it's kind of a loser, the practice is going to go downhill. It's not a good thing for anybody. And you like your patients. You love your patients. You really do want the best for them after your retirement.
Absolutely. And in some cases, the selling doctor will come in and putz around, as we say, a few days a week. Mm-hmm. And it would really be heartbreaking to see the owner taking the practice in a direction that you don't care for. So there should be a philosophical simpatico between the seller and the buyer.
But here's a philosophical question. Suppose you get clearly a great, great offer from somebody who, in your heart, you just feel, I just don't feel great about this guy. But then the next person who maybe you feel great about is offering you $100,000. I'm just making that number up. $100,000 less for the practice.
What do you do? Cashola.
It is. I mean, who is not going to sell to the highest bidder, the highest buyer? Who's not going to?
Well, I think so many of us count on the practice sales part of our retirement. And then it becomes a business decision, right?
Yeah. And is it really, I hate to say it like this, it sounds kind of cold, but is it really your responsibility to like vet the person for all, you know, clinical, personality, business skill? Is it fair? Or just look, you're selling your practice and somebody comes in with a great offer. Are you going to turn it down because you say, I just don't think you're right for my patients? What
well,
are you going to do?
I don't know. I think, you know, personality and business skills are one thing. If you have reason to suspect they're an incompetent dentist, I'm just not so sure I'd feel good about taking that check. I mean, really incompetent.
Yeah, but it's a tough one because, again, making numbers up, the person comes in and offers you $2 million in cash.
And the next best person's offering $1.1 million.
I mean, what do you do? I mean,
you sell.
You know, but I hope that's not going to come up with any. I mean, I'm assuming with this doctor that wrote to us, it's, you know, selling to a good buyer, somebody that's going to be, he's very comfortable with. We're assuming that's
the
case. I hope
so. Let's go back to the letter for a second, because we've seen good, we've seen bad, we've seen practices where the buyer, the new dentist, is responsible for sending out a letter to the patients, introducing themselves. Big, horrible mistake. Yeah, it's really great if the selling dentist, who the patients know and love, sends out a really sincere letter saying, you know, after 23 years of servicing the community and meeting so many fantastic patients, I've decided it's time for me to move on and I've selected the best dentist. Now, here's the thing. What if you say that and you know the dentist is a shit dentist? What do you do?
I still think, you know, is it up to you to really evaluate? I don't know. But I think you have to say, you have to say that you selected a great dentist. I think you have to. And not only that, does the dentist that's buying the practice get editing rights? Does he get to look at the letter and say, I think we need to change this a little bit? Or I guess that has to all come up in the deal. But should they get editing rights?
I'm not sure that would actually be included in the contract of the sale, that the buying dentist gets editing rights to the intro letter.
Because look, you and I know how to write letters, but let's say you were buying a dental practice right now from a dentist, and that dentist was about to send out a letter to his or her patient base, and you looked at the letter, and the letter just sucked. It was horrible, and it was going to hurt your practice. Wouldn't you feel that you would have the right to say, look, this letter just isn't right?
Don't you feel that's a courtesy that should be extended to I would think so too.
It kind of has to be negotiated, because suppose the selling dentist just, no, this is a letter I'm sending out. It's from me. This is what I'm saying. But that could like hurt the practice by, you know, 20%, 30% or more.
It could be horrible. And we've seen some really bad ones pretty much saying, you know, I'm retiring. I've sold to this dentist. Just all the wrong words. So if you are a dentist who is in the position that you'll be buying a practice soon, keep that in mind.
You've got it. Because, you know, they
see that letter.
They talk about, like, you know, I just wrote a letter that I made $50,000 from writing one letter. I mean, well, this could be that letter. I mean, it could be serious money, because if you're turning off your patient base and they all go elsewhere, guess what? The doctor that just bought the practice got ripped off or got, you know, short-ended or something. It's not cool.
Yeah. And we've seen that happen before too, where dentist purchases a good, healthy practice, and within the next 6 months to a year, so many patients have left, so many bad things have happened, and you just feel sorry for that dentist that spent top dollar and then didn't really know the proper way to do the transition. And you're right, it could be the fault of the selling dentist as well. Maybe they did some
Nobody
really
ever
bad things.
Thinks of that. But think about it. This dentist is possibly buying this practice with his or her life savings, or taking out a tremendous loan or whatever it might be. And this is everything. That letter means a lot.
You know, it's sad to say, we've seen situations where we've been working with or talking to the selling dentist, and they have a purchaser for the practice, and we meet the purchaser, and we just know that they are not going to succeed in that practice. We just know it. Mm-hmm. And what do? You still have to take the, you have to let them purchase it, right?
You have to let them purchase it. And not only that, I think you have to write the letter that you think is going to be the absolute best, and do everything you can in the transition to help this person who's paying you a lot of money.
Like, for example, I'm thinking of a dentist that we were friends with, working with. He just had one of those big, lovable personalities, and he was selling his practice, and the buyer just had no personality. Well, how are these patients going to feel after all those years? It's not easy.
Yeah, I think the selling dentist has to do the best that he or she can. But after at that, from that point on, it's I hate to say it, it's not really their responsibility.
Not my problem.
It's really not. I mean, you sold. It's not my problem that the incoming dentist is devoid of personality, or void or devoid. I don't know. Either.
I think void and devoid mean kind of the same thing.
Same thing.
Kind of like flammable and inflammable.
Inflammable.
Why do they mean the same thing? It was always very confusing.
Know.
You don't see the word inflammable too much anymore.
Oh, I see it a lot.
Inflammable?
All over the place. Oh, it's coming back. It's making a big comeback,
okay.
That word. Yeah.
Flammable and inflammable.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Gruntled, disgruntled.
No, those are total opposites.
Are you ever gruntled?
I'm gruntled right now.
Good.
I'm
perfect.
Entirely gruntled.
I feel good then.
Good. You and James Brown. Hold on now. Where were we? We were talking about something before we got off topic here.
I'll tell you where we are. I think we want to get into the call, because I think we've said everything that has to be said about this.
We beat this dead horse.
I think we have, but I mean, do you have anything else to say about it? I mean, I think we've given this doctor great information.
Oh, I was just going to bring up, not maybe as a closing point, but in case you are the seller, we talked about, you know, how do you feel about the buyer, blah, 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 blah. Like, how much due diligence do you have to do if they're licensed, if they, you know, they graduated an accredited dental school, they're a licensed dentist in your state. They are, by law, proficient and technically allowed to practice dentistry.
By law, yeah.
Right.
By law.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what do you do? Like, you check their lab cases? I think you're not responsible for that.
Right.
I think you're not.
Now, if they were like an associate in your practice and you knew they sucked, well.
That never happens.
Every associate sucks once they leave, right? Isn't that the truth? Everything that goes bad is blamed on the associate after they leave.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's a tough question, but yeah, make sure that you can't tell the team members until the contract is signed. That a really nice, well-written letter goes out on behalf of the selling dentist, explaining what happened, mm-hmm. introing the purchasing dentist.
Yeah, do it the right way.
All right.
Okay.
Great question, Dr. Anonymous.
Let's do a call.
Excellent.
Hey, just a quick second before Rich and I do the call. Real quick little announcement here about some friends of ours and a group that we're very close with and that can really help you out quite a bit, dentistadvisors.com. You know, for many years, probably several decades now, Rich and I have been very serious about our future, and we've worked with financial planners for quite some time. We wouldn't really do this ourselves because we're dentists and we don't really know the ins and outs of financial planning. So when we recommend financial planners, we generally recommend a group that works exclusively with dentists. Yeah, they know the ins and the outs of your dental practice and what dentists are going through in their lives. They only work with dentists. They only do financial planning. They're not there to sell you all kinds of different products and talk about other weird things. No, they're financial planners. And not only that, they are fiduciaries, which means legally, they always have to do what's in your best interest. So if you're looking to make sure your future is what it should be, where you want to go with your goals, then you need a really good financial planner. And we highly, highly recommend checking out Dentist Advisors. It's really easy. Go to dentistadvisors.com. All one word, dentistadvisors.com. Check them out. And by the way, when you speak to them, let them know that you listen to the Dental Practice Fixers podcast and that you are friends of the Maddow Brothers. I don't know what that'll get you exactly, but give it a try and see. Good stuff.
Excellent.
How about if we do the phone call?
Let's do it. Call of the day.
Okay, I'm not sure what to expect here. This is an oral surgeon's office in Indiana that's placed some ads on Facebook and I think some other places as well, saying that they do dentures, denture repairs, and denture relines, which to me sounds a little odd for an oral surgeon's office. So let's give them a call and see what this is all about.
oral surgery. This is Nikki. How may I help you?
Hi, I have a quick question for you. I saw on, I think it was on Facebook or somewhere, that you were doing dentures and denture repairs.
We are in our Seymour office, yes.
Yeah, I told that to my dad because he might need a new denture, and he told me that he didn't think oral surgeons did dentures. So I didn't know, so I thought I'd call and find out what's going on.
Yeah, well, we actually have someone that comes in specifically on Mondays, and he fits our patients for dentures. They still have to see our doctor, because our doctor has to do the initial exam, because Mark is the one that does our dentures, but he's not a doctor, so he just works out of our office. But he is the one that fits our patients for dentures and, sends everything to the lab, and then they do come to our office.
Right. So I don't understand. He's not a doctor. What is he?
Mark is just the gentleman that, he is just the one that fits us for dentures. He just fits our patients for the dentures.
So, again, I'm not trying to be flip here. He's not a dentist, but he comes into your office and he fits your patients for dentures.
Correct.
And then what if the denture needs, to be adjusted or it's not right?
That's what he does.
He does that.
He does that as well. Yes.
So what is he? What kind of training does he have?
I have no idea. I don't even know. What's Mark's last name? Okay. If you want to look him up, his name is Mark.
So you're suggesting I just Google Mark.
Yeah. I don't know what Mark's training is before he came to our office. I have no, do you know how much training Mark had before he came to our office? I told him to Google because I have no idea, to be honest.
I don't know. He works in a couple different offices.
Yeah, he works in a couple different offices.
So he just kind of travels around with a little suitcase and does dentures in different offices?
Monday morning.
From
9 to 11:30.
I guess you could put it like that. I don't really know. I couldn't give you any background information on Mark's training or where he went to school or anything like that. I have no idea.
Okay, but then one of the oral surgeons also looks at the denture?
Yes.
But they're oral surgeons.
We have two oral surgeons in our office. Yes.
Right, and they know about dentures, the oral surgeons.
From 9 to 11:30.
Yeah, Mark wouldn't work in our office if our doctors didn't feel confident that they knew what was going on.
Okay. I think I get the picture. Thanks so much for your information.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Wow. That's a little scary, isn't it? They've got this guy, Mark, coming into the oral surgeon's office. He's doing the dentures from start to finish, it sounds like. And they have no idea who he is, what his training is, what kind of degree he has, if any. And it sounds like maybe he's a lab tech. I don't know if they have denturists in that state. Not sure exactly what's going on there. But that was pretty creepy, wasn't it? I'm not so sure how much confidence I would have in that. And if I were a general dentist in that area, would I be too happy about that, having some kind of non-dentist coming into an oral surgeon's office and doing dentures? I'm not sure. But you know what? Anything goes on the dental practice fixers, so you decide what you think is going on in this practice and get back to us with your comments, podcast@matto.com. And that concludes another episode of the Dental Practice Fixers. I'm Dr. Richard Matto. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. David Matto, and we will see you soon. Thanks for listening.
Listen. Do you want to know a secret? Promise not to tell.